I do want to, before we go into the word, I do want to quickly just share what you might saw this morning. And there was a lot of talking involved and going to Ludolf, speaking to him, and Seelan and I speaking, and people coming to the front. And that might be new to you, or you might go like, guys, aren't you prepared for this? Aren't you prepared for this Sunday? I want to say it's because we are prepared that we actually have an open hand to whatever the Lord wants to do. But it's not about one man. It's not about Seelan alone hearing from the Lord. It's not about myself alone hearing from the Lord. It's not about the worship. It's about us working in team and hearing and trying to follow the Spirit as best as we can. And that's why we stand here and we go, hey, this is on my heart. Hey, I saw this picture. People coming to the front. I felt this on my heart. I got this scripture. And that's why we pray beforehand as well, to be prepared. And as Jock also shared, it's to actually shift our hearts to go like, Lord, I want you to use me. I want to be here. I just wanted to clear that out, that if it might seems that we, or seem that we didn't prepare, but it's actually because we're living open-handed, even on a Sunday morning for our services. It's not about us. It's not about the worship or the preach. It's about God. So this morning, I'm going to jump straight into the parable of the 10 virgins that we read in Matthew 25. So, Katie, if you can put that up for us. Jesus telling this parable, he says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. So, there are 3 things I want to, that was highlighted to me, or that I realized as I was reading this parable to share with us this morning, and that I do trust that we will take at least one of the 3 home with us and make it true to our walk with Christ. And the first one is, we always need to be ready, because we never know when Jesus is coming back. And the word is full of that. Whenever we read of the coming back of Jesus, there's always this mystery of when will it be. And we read in Mark 13, we read, is one of those scriptures. It says, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. 33 says, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Even Jesus himself doesn't know when he's coming back. Only the Father knows. And that's one of those secrets that he's keeping with him, so that we will be ready, so that we will actually walk in faith, until the day that the Lord comes back. Otherwise, what would have happened if we knew when He's coming back? The majority of us probably would have lived for the world until the previous day. We know He's coming on the 3rd of March. So on the 2nd of March, I'll give my life to Him. Then I'll give all of it. But that's not what the Lord is asking us. So, reading this parable, I mean, that's a pretty obvious message that comes through it. The parable even ends off with it. It says, therefore keep watch because you do not know the day of the hour or the hour of Jesus coming. And the question is, what do we do while we wait? Because waiting seems like a very passive thing to do, right? I mean, you go to the doctor, you sit there and you wait in the waiting room. That's very passive. And so forth. Everything that involves waiting usually is passive. But let's make it practical before we go to our relationship with the Lord. If I... Before I became a teacher, there was a waiting period. But that waiting period, those 4 years for me to become a teacher, I had to study to become a teacher. So that was an active waiting. And I mean, we've got a bunch of medical people here. Your active waiting is just a few years longer. But there's a waiting period that is involved there before you can actually go, hey, now I'm a qualified teacher, now I'm a qualified doctor, or a OT, or a whatever you are. There's an active waiting. It's not a passive waiting. And the same principle applies with our walk with the Lord. To be one of those 5 wise virgins, there's an active waiting while we wait for the return of Jesus. And that active waiting involves of us to make sure that we have enough oil. And that oil is obviously not physical oil. That oil is not anointing oil that's being poured over you. That oil refers to the Holy Spirit. There are many scriptures. I'm not going to dive into it this morning, but there are many scriptures in Exodus and Zechariah, Acts, Hebrews, that refers to oil as the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And we need to make sure that we have the Holy Spirit with us every single day so that one day when Jesus comes back, even if it is the 3rd of March, that we are ready. So, how do we actively wait for the return of Jesus? And this is not a complete list. These are a few very practical things that's part of that waiting actively. And the most important one of all of them, which is, this is not one to be reasoned with, is you need to give your life to the Lord. That's the first one. I mean, those waiting passively haven't really given their lives to the Lord. They might say that they are a Christian. We'll get to that part. They might say that we have the faith, but there's no active involvement. So the first part is give your life to the Lord and proclaim that He's your Savior. And then the outflow of that, the things we can practically do, we can read our Bible, we can pray, we can come to church and community. You can sing songs of worship and praise, have fellowship with fellow believers. Those were the easy ones. And then, like, I divided into a little bit more difficult ones. You can start living in the light. What does that mean? It means that we actually, if we sinned, we don't just keep it to ourselves and no, God will deal with me. No, the Bible is very clear of this. When you've sinned, it says repent to one another. It says open up, live in the light. So I'm not saying every Sunday everyone's going to get a turn and come and stand here and say what they've done wrong. That's not what the Bible says. But there must be accountability. Are you walking with someone? sharing your life with someone as you go about. Be obedient to what God asks of you. So He asks of you to, I don't know, come and pack chairs. Yes, God, but I was quite busy this week. Quite tired. I can't come to church early. Or community. Are you getting there early to help the hosts? Just make a cup of coffee, boil the kettle. Hey, I mean, the majority of our guys have kids. Maybe you can quickly lend a hand, or while they're doing the kids, you can make the kitchen ready for people to come into the house. Are you actively busy? Be quick to repent. Be willing to serve His bride. And so I can carry on and on. I said this is not the whole list. These are a few things that I've named here. But you can't say that I am actively waiting for the Lord without any of those things being done in your life. And again, then it's easy to fall into the comfort zone of, yes, but I'm going to church on a Sunday. Yeah, but I am going to community on a Wednesday, Tuesday, whatever. But why? Are you going to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you going because you want to go? Are you going because, yeah, I'm a Christian and I'm part of that group of people, you know, and they will expect of me to be there? Man, then you're missing out. Because if you're coming to make any of us happy, you're missing it. If you're coming to put up a show or to put up a happy face, you're missing the reason behind church. You're missing the reason behind community. I can, and the majority of you know by now that I'm not really a big sports fan. Like, it's not because I don't like sport. It's just I find other things to do with my time. So for the purpose of this illustration, I'm going to use Jock as an example. Jock can say that he's a Griqua supporter. But if you start speaking to him, you find out he doesn't have those of you who don't know, he works for the Griqua, so it's obviously none of this is true that I'm saying now. As you start spending time with Jock, you realize, wait, he doesn't have a supporter's jersey. Which is okay. But he's a supporter, right? But he also doesn't know any of the players. He doesn't know one name of that team. Which is also not true. He doesn't know the coaches. You know, who are the managers of the team? Who? And as you spend time with him, you realize that he never watches a game of them. He doesn't even know when they are playing. Okay? And then you would start questioning, are you really a supporter? Like, are you? I mean, surely that's the question that arises with everyone, right? If you start spending time with someone that says they're a supporter of whatever team, and you realize, but none of those things are in place, then you start questioning their supporting philosophy. That's why I couldn't have used myself, because I do say I support the Griquas, but all of those things are true for me. So why do we allow that our criteria for being a Christian or being saved be so low? No. I've given my life to the Lord, or I've given my heart to the Lord. Yeah, but sure, you miss out every third Sunday of church, or you have no idea why we come to community. Have you ever served somewhere in church outside of your community coming to serve? Have you ever been challenged by the Lord? Have you ever changed something you do because you realized that you were actually doing it wrong? Because you started reading the Bible. Oh, that's another one. Are you reading the Bible? How could we forget that one? Praying. Are you just praying for yourself? Lord, please be with me. Be with me in this new day. Thank you for what you have done in my life. Or you're actually praying for other people. You're praying for your friends, your family, your leaders, the church that you're part of. Or your prayer is just always about yourself. But still, we let people convince us that, no, they are a Christian. But when we start spending time with them, we realize, shucks, they are actually lukewarm. And many times, I do want to balance this, bring into balance. Sometimes it's because people don't know. I was there. I gave my life to the Lord. No one ever taught me on baptism. Never. 6 years later, walk into a church. Hey, the Bible says, repent and be baptized. Oops, I missed it completely. Where's this nearest swimming pool? Baptize me now because I have given my life to the Lord. So sometimes it's because you don't know. And that's where accountability comes in. James 2 verse 20 says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? We cannot have oil in our lamps. We cannot say that I have the Holy Spirit in me and hide the light that it produces. We cannot. It's impossible. We cannot contain the light that the Lord wants to display through us. The second one, there are wise and there are foolish Christians. That's what I read here. There were wise virgins and foolish Christians. Virgins here referring to people, keeping them pure and spotless for the return of the bridegroom, referring to the church. And I mean, we've got a whole book in the Bible that speaks of the wise and the foolish and the contrast between them and the wicked and the good, speaking of Proverbs. And then in 2 Corinthians, we read of one day when we go to heaven, that we'll have heavenly dwelling, okay, a new body that we will dwell in. But for now, we are on earth, and we have to be in this earthly body. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 to 10 reads as follows. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body, this body, to be home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him. Not one day when we get there. It says, whether we are at home, in the body, or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that we may receive what is due for us of the things that we have done in the body, whether good or bad. The scripture doesn't say that faith makes us blind. It doesn't say that faith is blind or that faith blinds us. Okay, there's a big difference here. Being full of faith doesn't mean I look over everything that's not good. Doesn't mean I just see the good and, oh, I'm floating in the air and everything is sunshine and roses. No. I still see those things. But I don't live by those things anymore. I don't live by the things that my eyes can see. I live by faith that produces hope. And I'm going to read what I wrote here. I said, it is wise for us to make sure that our oil stays filled up. Every morning when we wake up, Holy Spirit, come and lead me. We can't once a year as leaders come together and go, Lord, lead us in your presence. No, every Sunday morning we come to church and the freshness and newness of the Lord, we pray for that and trust for that. We need to make sure that our oil stays filled up and that we will always be ready. It is wise to stay in step with the Spirit. And then the third thing, and this might be a little bit more difficult one. So if you do struggle with this, speak to your comm leader about it. Come and speak to myself, speak to the leaders, because it is not necessarily one or something that you will hear someone preach or that you will hear a Christian say. But Christians can have boundaries. Let me explain. How many times as Christians have you yourself felt or have seen that whenever someone asks something of a Christian, there's this expectation that they will give? I mean, because they're a Christian, right? They're a good person, so they must give. I've seen that many times. And I've been there before I realized that Christians can have boundaries. It's actually healthy to have boundaries in terms of giving. Now, I do want to clarify that this scripture, this parable, is not on tithing and offering, but it's something that I picked up in this parable. The wise virgins. Let me go back, and I'm going to read that scripture, those three verses again. Matthew 25 verse 8. The foolish ones said to the wise, they didn't even ask, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. How many times have you experienced that? People commanding, and let's see it in a good light. People asking, hey, I'm struggling. Can you help me out? Is it okay to say no? Or is it okay to give wisdom instead of money? Is it okay to give guidance instead of a resource? Is it okay to give a interim solution? I don't have a place to say, yes, I can help you out with 2 weeks. Instead of, yo, come into my house and stay in my house for as long as you want. Yes, that's our heart. Our heart is, come. But is that wise? No, it's not wise. So we give a solution, but we're going to help that person from where they are out of that situation. And the reply of the wise said, no, there may not be enough for both us and you. Everything in my heart, I'm going to be vulnerable now with you guys. When I drive to school and I go drop off my child, there's a group of children walking every morning that time. And the one morning Lisa tells me, those children comes from the children's home, the VSAs. Well, I couldn't see through my eyes after that, as my heart broke for them. Everything in me wanted to go and grab those children, take them home with me and love onto them. Everything in me. Will it be wise of me to do that? Unfortunately not. Although my whole heart goes out to those children and I go like, Lord, I pray and I trust that they will be loved and cared for. And I trust with my whole heart that I will get a family, that someone that has the resources and the capacity to do that will come and take them home. I can't do it because it won't be wise of me. There's wisdom in the choices that we make. And there was wisdom in the five virgins that said no. It's not lacquer. It's not lacquer to hear these things because you're a Christian. You must always do the right thing. So what is the right thing? I've got a wife and I've got two kids. Those were the choices I made. I need to look after them. First, I need to look after them. Then out of an overflow, I can look after the people that God has entrusted to me, the church, the local church. And then the Bible says, if there's more to spare, then give outside the church. As a church, we are not called to just do the good things of life. Churches will run dry. Finances will run dry. We are called to look in your own household, then in your church, and then outside of that. Actually, there's one that I missed, that we are part of a bigger body, a bigger Josh Jane, the 412 apostolic field. So first there, and then outside of that. Then I can go, Lord, do you give grace on my life to adopt a child? I hope it makes sense what I'm trying to carry over here, guys. And this is not a light thing because I know that so many Christians fall into the trap of socialism. You need to be a good person. There's a scripture that hopefully will help all of us in this. If you are struggling with a choice like that, if you're struggling with a choice of should I give towards whatever or whoever, even in the church, you see a need and you want to fill that gap, and you're not sure, there's a scripture in Proverbs 15, verse 22. It says, plans fail for the lack of counsel, but with many advisors they seek. Meaning that there's wisdom in the counsel of many. Speak to other believers. Believers in your own church, in your own community. Don't go and ask for opinions out there. Don't go to the nearest platform, media platform, Twitter or X or whatever. Don't go there, oh, I'm struggling. Should I start giving money to the poor? I'll tell you what the answer will be. But they have no idea what your situation is. They don't know the needs in your local congregation. So those advisors, that council of many, speaks of leaders, people who are more mature than you are. And please, when I make the suggestion of speak to someone else, it does refer to someone that's more mature in the spirit than you are. And that goes for me as well. I don't think that I'm the most mature. Not at all. Not close. I speak to many guys that I know has done more in the faith, that has walked a longer road than I have, that has matured more than I have. And I ask for wisdom. And I want to bring it to the land with Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons, in your name performed miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We can't just say that we have faith, but there are no works. And we can't have the works without the faith. Those two cannot be separated from one another. So as we go out here, make sure that your oil canister is filled up, that you are full of the Holy Spirit, so that when you go and do the works of the Lord, that people will see God and not you. Let's pray together. Close eyes. If you feel that you have run dry, if you feel that you've been, if you weren't prepared, you weren't ready, let's pray together. If you feel that you've missed out, and not necessarily on the coming of the bridegroom, because luckily we're not there yet, we still have time to be actively waiting. I want to pray for us. I want to pray for us for wisdom in actively waiting. I want us to be prepared for when Jesus comes back. So can I ask you to stand with me? I'm also standing this morning. If you want the wisdom and the insight, Lord, as we stand here, arms wide open, we come and ask you the wisdom of actively waiting for your return, Lord. How do I adjust my life? Not just reading the Bible, being empty, not just saying empty prayers, Lord, but waiting actively for you, putting my trust in the faith I have, for hope in things that are not seen, until one day when you return. Lord, I pray that you will come and that each of us standing here will be like the wise virgins, bringing extra oil with us, that we will have boundaries in our lives so that we don't run out, but that we will actually always be at a place that we can give spiritually and physically. I pray for the times that we slip up, Lord, that we will be quick to repent, to turn to you and say, Lord, I've sinned against you, but I don't want to do that. Come and change my heart. Come and change my life. And if there's anyone this morning that hasn't given their lives to the Lord, haven't fully surrendered to walk in that wisdom that He has for you, my prayer this morning is that you will have a meeting with Him. And as He's knocking on your heart's door, that you will open up. And we can't do this alone, Lord. First of all, we need you. And that's why we give our lives to you. And we need one another. And thank you, Lord, that you look after your children, that you have adopted us into sonship. Amen. Guys, if there's something on your heart this morning, go and share it with someone. Do it over a coffee. There's coffee there. If there isn't enough, we'll make more. But share it with someone. Share